Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you pardon the assumption. Your minister asked me to preach a sermon on theology, though I'm a writer, not a preacher. She has said she's read most of what I've written and agrees with much of it, and yet you evidently still allow her to work for you. I'm surprised. Perhaps if a church like this existed 100 years ago, I would have been a Unitarian or a Universalist instead of a Presbyterian, as they accused me of, and as I've been known to occasionally attend, so I said. Yeah, we were good boys, good Presbyterian boys, and loyal and all of that. Anyway, we were good Presbyterian boys when the weather was a bit doubtful. When it was fair, we did wander a little from the fold. I can't recall a Presbyterian pastor asking me to grace their pulpits, so while your kind minister has helped me with this introduction, the rest of what I say will be in my own words gathered over the years. Have to apologize for not using inclusive language. No one really asked for my theology before. Perhaps they were afraid of what I might say. You know, given some of the things they have read, I said. My theology really started long ago at a young age by pointing out religion's seeming inconsistencies and obvious hypocrisies. So, here goes. Let me start by talking a little bit about God. I have a religion, but you will call it blasphemy. It is that there is a God for the rich, but none for the poor. Perhaps your religion will sustain you, will feed you. I place no dependence in mine. Our religions are alike, though, in one way. Neither can make a man happy when he's out of luck. If I were to construct a God, I would furnish him with some of the ways and qualities and characteristics the present one lacks. He would not stoop to ask for any man's compliments, praises, flatteries, and he would be far above exacting them. I would have him as self-respecting as the better sort of man is in these regards. He would not be a merchant or a trader. He would not buy these things. He would not sell or offer to sell temporary benefits of the joys of eternity for the product called worship. I'd have him dignified as the better sort of man in these regards. He would value no love but the love born of kindness conferred, not that born of benevolences contracted for. Repentance of a man's heart for a wrong done would cancel and annul that sin, and no verbal prayers for forgiveness be required or desired or expected of that man. In his Bible, there would be no unforgivable sin. He would recognize himself as the author and inventor of sin, and the author and inventor of the vehicle and appliances for its commission. And he would place the whole responsibility where it would of right belong upon himself, the only sinner. He would not be a jealous God, a trait so small, even men despise it in each other. He would not boast. He would keep private his admiration of himself. He would regard self-praise as unbecoming the dignity of his position. He would not have the spirit of vengeance in his heart, and then it would not issue from his lips. There would not be any hell except the one we live in from cradle to the grave. Oh, and there would not be any heaven, at least the kind described in the Bibles. God would spend his eternities trying to forgive himself for making man unhappy when he could have made him happy with the same effort. He'd spend the rest of his time studying astronomy. Well, I guess man was made at the end of the week when God was tired. I believe our Heavenly Father invented man because he was disappointed in the monkey. In God we trust. That's the choicest compliment that has ever been paid us and most gratifying to our feelings. It is simple, direct, gracefully phrased. It always sounds well. In God we trust. I don't believe it would sound better if it were true. Leaving out gamblers and burglars and plumbers, perhaps we do put our trust in God after a fashion. But after all, it is an overstatement. If the cholera or the black plague were to come on these shores, perhaps the bulk of the nation would pray to be delivered from it, but the rest would put their trust in the health board. Yeah. What God lacks is convictions, stability of character. He ought to be a Presbyterian or a Catholic or something and not try to be everything. Few words on religion. I always said sacred cows make the best hamburger. In religion and politics, people's beliefs and convictions are, in almost every case, gotten secondhand and without examination from authorities who have not themselves examined the questions at issue, but have taken them secondhand from other non-examiners whose opinions about them were not worth a brass farthing. The easy confidence with which I know another man's religion is folly teaches me to suspect that my own is also. I would not interfere with anyone's religion, either to strengthen it or weaken it. I'm not able to believe one's religion can affect his hereafter, one way or another, no matter what that religion may be. It may easily be a great comfort to him in this life, hence it is a valuable possession. Man is a religious animal. He is the only religious animal. He is the only animal that has true religion, several of them. He is the only animal that loves his neighbor as himself and cuts his throat if his theology isn't straight. No God or religion can survive ridicule. No political church or nobility or royalty or other fraud can face ridicule in a fair field and live. But man is kind enough when he isn't excited by religion. All the other animals have no religion, and we're told they're going to be left out of heaven. Can't figure that. If a man doesn't believe as we do, we say he's a crank, and that settles it. I mean, it does nowadays because we can't burn him. The so-called Christian nations are the most enlightened and progressive, but in spite of their religion, not because of it. I mean, the church has opposed almost every innovation and discovery from the day of Galileo down to our own, when the use of anesthetic in childbirth was regarded as a sin because it avoided the biblical curse pronounced on Eve. Every step in astronomy and geology ever taken has been opposed by bigotry and superstition. The Greeks surpassed us in artistic culture and in architecture 500 years before the Christian religion was born. Monarchies, aristocracies, religions, never was a country where the majority of people were, in their secret heart, loyal to any of these institutions. I am quite sure now, often in matters concerning religion and politics, a man's reasoning power isn't very high or much higher than a monkey's. Religion consists in a set of things which the average man believes and wishes he was certain. Between believing a thing and thinking you know is only a small step and quickly taken. I was educated and trained as a Presbyterian, and I knew how things were done. I knew in biblical times that if a man committed a sin, the extermination of the whole surrounding nation, cattle and all, was likely to happen. I knew Providence wasn't particular about the rest as long as he got somebody connected with the one he was after. Zeal and sincerity can carry a new religion farther than any missionary, except fire and sword. The altar cloth of one eon is the doormat of the next. There are those who scoff at the schoolboy, calling him frivolous and shallow. Well, it was the schoolboy who said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." I can't see how a man of a large degree of humorous perception can ever be religious unless he purposely shuts the eyes of the mind and keeps them shut by force. Now, a few words on the church. Yeah, church is always trying to get people to reform. Might not be a bad idea if it tried to reform itself a little by example. Mine was a Presbyterian conscience and knew but one duty, to hunt and harry its slave on all pretexts and upon all occasions, particularly when there was no sense or reason to it. If Christ were here, there'd one thing he would not be, a Christian. There was only one Christian. They caught him and crucified him early. Alas, the good old days are gone when a murderer could wipe the stain from his name and soothe the trouble of his sleep simply by getting out his block and mortar and building an addition to the church. A man will be accepted into a church for what he believes and turned out for what he knows. Yes, the Bible has some noble poetry in it, and some good morals, and a wealth of obscenity and upwards to 1,000 lies. Ain't the parts in the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. When one reads the Bible, one is less surprised by what the deity knows than what he doesn't know. But I'm safe in his hands. I'm not in any danger from that kind of deity. The one I want to keep out of reach of is the caricature of him in the Bible. We, that one and I, could never respect each other, never get along. I've met his superior 100 times. In fact, I amount to that myself. It was not Adam that ate the apple for the apple's sake, but because it was forbidden. It would have been better for us, far better for us, if the serpent had been forbidden. Yeah, God, so atrocious in the Old Testament and so attractive in the New. That's the Jekyll and Hyde of sacred romance. A few thoughts about heaven. Yeah. One of the proofs of the immortality of the soul is that myriads have believed in it. They have also believed the world was flat. This is a Christian country. Why, so is hell. Inasmuch as straight and narrow is the gate and few that enter thereat, has the natural effect of making hell the only really prominent Christian community in any of the worlds. We don't brag of this. Certainly it's not proper to brag and boast that America is a Christian country when we all know that 5/6 of the population would not enter through that narrow gate. We may not doubt that society in heaven consists mainly of undesirable persons. But I always said, go to heaven for the climate, go to hell for the company. I have never seen what seems to me an atom of proof that there is an afterlife, and yet I'm inclined to expect one. The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who truly lives fully is prepared to die any time. The dog is a gentleman. I hope to go to his heavens, not man's. Let us live so that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry. Few thoughts on morality. I responded to critics who wanted to ban my book, Huckleberry Finn. I wrote, well, there's nobody for me to attack in this matter, even with a soft and gentle ridicule. I should never think of using a grown-up weapon in this kind of nursery. Above all, I couldn't venture to attack the clergymen whom you mention, for I have their habit and live in the same glass house which they occupy. I am always reading immoral books on the sly and then selfishly trying to prevent other people from having the same wicked good time. Always do what is right. It will gratify half of mankind and astound the others. Always acknowledge a fault. This will throw off those in authority off their guard and give you an opportunity to commit more. Always said, a clear conscience is the sign of a bad memory. The lack of money is the root of all evil. And there are several good protections against temptation, but the surest is cowardice. Be good, and you will be lonesome. We should be careful to get out of experience only the wisdom that's in it, and stop there, lest we be like the cat that sits down on the hot stove. She'll never sit down on a hot stove again, but she will also never sit down on a cold stove anymore. There are people who strictly deprive themselves of each and every drinkable, eatable, and smokable, which has anyway acquired a shady reputation. They pay this price for health. And health is all they get for it. How strange is that? I mean, it's like paying out your whole life's fortune for a cow that's gone dry. The human race has only one really effective weapon, and that is laughter. Man is the only animal that blushes or needs to. Eat a live frog first thing in the morning. Nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day. The worst loneliness is to not be comfortable with yourself. Every time you stop a school, you will have to build a jail. What you gain at one end, you lose at the other. It's like feeding a dog on his own tail. It won't fatten the dog. The best minds will tell you that when a man has begotten a child, he is morally bound to tenderly care for it, protect it from hurt, shield it from disease, clothe it, feed it, bear its waywardness, lay no hand upon it save in kindness and for its own good, and never in any case inflict upon it wanton cruelty. God's treatment of his earthly children every day and every night is the exact opposite of all that. Yet those best minds warmly justify these crimes, condone them, excuse them, when he commits them. Your country and mine is an interesting one, but there is nothing half so interesting as the human mind. A few words on politics. I wanted to wish you a happy 4th of July, but I've been thinking, you know, the business aspects of the 4th of July is not as perfect as it stands. Well, see, what it costs us every year with the loss of life, the crippling of thousands with fireworks, and the burning down of property, I don't know. It's not only sacred to the patriot and universal freedom, but to the surgeon, the undertaker, and the insurance office, and they're working it for all it's worth. A man can be a Christian or a patriot, but he can't legally be both, except in the usual way, one of the two with the mouth and the other with the heart. The spirit of Christianity proclaims the brotherhood of the race, and the meaning of that strong word has not been left to guesswork, but made tremendously definite. The Christian must forgive his brother man all crimes he can imagine and commit, and all insults he can conceive and utter. Forgive these injuries how many times? 70 times 7, another way of saying there shall be no limit to that forgiveness. That is the spirit and law of Christianity. Well, patriotism has its laws, and it's also a perfectly definite one, that no vagueness about it. It commands that the brother over the border shall be sharply watched and brought to book every time he does us a hurt or offends us with an insult. Worded as softly as you please, the spirit of patriotism is the spirit of the dog and the wolf. The moment there's a misunderstanding about a boundary line or a hamper of fish or some other squalid manner, see patriotism rise and hear him split the universe with its war whoop. The spirit of patriotism, being in its nature jealous and selfish, is just in line with man's nature. Comes natural to him. He can live up to all its requirements to the letter. But the spirit of Christianity, it's not entirely possible to him. The prayer concealed in this is what I've been saying is not that patriotism should cease, and not that the talk of universal brotherhood should cease, but that the incongruous firm between them be dissolved and each limb of it be required to transact business by itself in the future. Well, in closing, I'd have to say humor is mankind's greatest blessing. Life is short. Break the rules. Forgive quickly. Kiss slowly. Love truly. Laugh uncontrollably and never regret anything that makes you smile. Grief can take care of itself, but to get the full value of joy, you must have somebody to divide it with. Thank you.